Put on your helmet, fasten your chin strap, and get ready for the snuff. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
One more hour to go here on today's version of the Eric Ainge Show. Today's edition, I should say, of the EA Show. Brian Rice with me always, Joel Silverberg, myself, Eric Ainge, brought to you by Food City. And also, Brian, I don't know if you know this, we have a football game tonight.
We do. It is the final college football game of the year, a season
Good.
That
Let's
we
Let's get this season over. Get it over with. Done. Never happen again.
A season we weren't sure would get to this point, but sure are glad that it did. Alabama and Ohio State tonight for the national championship.
Can I ask the first question?
Please.
And you can't say meteor strike.
Mm-hmm.
Who would you get at least some satisfaction of in them winning tonight? Even if it's because you don't want the other one to win. Who do you think is Brian Rice going to be silently rooting for? Because you always root for somebody.
Yeah. This is a tough question because I don't want Alabama fans to be happy. So I don't think I can say Alabama. At this point, you know, for years, and it came up big time when Alabama and Georgia played for the championship, I didn't want Georgia to win because I didn't want another team in the SEC to be validated. And I think if Kirby Smart won that national championship, his tenure at Georgia might look different right now. So I'm glad that didn't happen. Ryan Day winning a national championship at Ohio State affects Tennessee none. At this point in their program, I have to say that Nick Saban winning another national championship at Alabama affects Tennessee's program none. So do I want...
Ew, that is hard to swallow right there.
Do I want Alabama fans to be happy, or do I want Ohio State fans who've been all high and mighty all year to be happy? Neither, but I guess Ohio State, but not really.
See, I will be watching this game tonight, obviously hoping for a good 60-minute football game. I don't think it's possible. The only way it's possible that we don't is if Bama scores so much and Ohio State just can't keep up. That is possible, but I don't think it's probable. I think it's going to be a really good football game all the way through. That's what I want to happen. As far as who I want to win, I respect Nick Saban and what he does and how well he's done it for so long, so much. That kind of like you saying, if they win, it affects Tennessee none because they're already established. They're already the best. They already are the pinnacle of everything. So that doesn't really do anything. You know, like, what is it, further solidified that he's the best college football coach of all time?
Yeah.
I mean, that's all it does, is it just furthers that already, in my opinion, set in stone comment that he's the best college football coach there's ever been.
Yeah,
in an era when it's harder to win, he has been the one that they change rules to try to make it him not win, and he just keeps winning. It's just remarkable. But I also really like and respect Ryan Day, so I think I'd be good for a young up and comer in the coaching world to get in that mix. I love that. You know, I actually like Dabo, but I love that Ryan Day took that. You're the 11th best team in the country. And made him eat it, made him lick white dog crap,
yep,
if you will, Step Brothers.
Yep.
He made him, you know, he said, Dabo, you get down there and you lick that white dog crap.
Yep.
And he did. So I don't know. I kind of think it would be cool if Ryan Day and Justin Fields. That's a story in a COVID year that will never, you know, the fewest wins, everyone will try to take it away from them. Well, they didn't play enough games. Well. If them being a champion means they beat Clemson and Bama
Yeah, they're legitimate.
There is no asterisk next to the season or their name or anything. So I don't know. I hope for a good game. I'm with you though. I guess I lean Ohio State.
Yeah.
It's just. I mean, Alabama though. This is different than Clemson. Clemson had Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne, and they had good players. Najee Harris, Devontae Smith, and Mac Jones are three of the top five Heisman Trophy winning vote getters.
Yep.
Three of the top five. It's ridiculous. And that doesn't include what if they have some players coming back.
Yeah.
What if Jaylen Waddle gets back out there? You know, I think it's probably too early for him to go out there and look like he is, because he was the most electrifying player on that team, not Devontae Smith.
Yeah.
And it was Jaylen Waddle 1A and Devontae Smith 1B. He goes down and then Smith wins a Heisman. But if you bring Waddle back out there, if he's like actually healthy, and it wouldn't shock me. I mean, some of the athletes I've been around over the years that get injuries that you just think, oh, there's no, you know, that's going to take, they say on paper 4 to 6 weeks, and 10 days later they're ready to go.
Yeah.
It's just their bodies are that way. It just is. It's genetics. I can't explain it, but maybe Waddle's one of those guys. If they get him, what does Ohio State do to try to stop him?
Hope.
All have tried. All have failed.
Yeah. I mean,
I hate being that like bleak about it, but I mean, even with Minchie out there running around as a viable option, and Forrestall, like they have too much. You know, I don't think Ohio State on defense is going to be able to stop Bama. Could they slow them down time to time and get some and force a few punts? Yes. What do they do with those punts? We shall see. I'm curious to see what Ohio State does too, because they have two freaking awesome tight ends. Are they going to try to go big boy football and run Sermon and play action with Fields? And I don't know what they're going to do. That's why this is so exciting. There's so many. I could also see him going empty and just spreading Bama out and taking advantage of some of their linebackers and coverage. I could see him doing that too. It's just, I don't know what they're going to do.
It's going to be a fascinating game to watch. Here's an interesting stat. Since the playoff era began, 2014 season, Alabama 59-5 against SEC opponents. Ohio State's 59-4 against Big Ten teams.
Wow.
They've both dominated their conferences, and to a certain extent have dominated college football, though they have not met for a national championship over that time. Alabama and Ohio State met in one of the semifinals the first year of the playoff after the 2014 season. Ohio State won that one. It's the only time a 4 has beat a 1 in the history of the college football playoff. And since then, these teams haven't met. Something that I'm watching, and we'll go through a few of these topics over the next few minutes, but before we go to break, the first one I'm looking at is, how does Justin Fields fare against Alabama's defense? Against Clemson, he was 22 of 28 for 385, 6 touchdowns, 1 interception, had 42 rushing yards. What do you think, Eric, he can do against Alabama?
Well, it really depends on what they can get going with Sermon. Sermon against Northwestern had the 331 yards running the football. He was dynamic. The first guy never brought him down. Clemson, the first defender to get their hands on Sermon in the semifinal game, they never got him down. I mean, he's getting hit at the line of scrimmage and it's a 4-yard gain.
Yeah.
Hit 3 yards down the field, he's making a first down. I mean, he's just like a slippery, hard runner. He was playing fiery and aggressive. Ohio State has two tight ends that are really good run blockers, but also you can spread out, and we watched him against Clemson, and they can catch the ball all over the place. You know, I lean towards playing that game with Alabama, keeping their base personnel out there, max protecting, throwing some routes down the field, randomly going empty. If they have a plan where they can keep Alabama guessing a little bit, mm-hmm. and they can keep them in the same personnel and find what works and then just attack it, I think that they could have some success. If it ends up being a 3rd-and-7-plus drop back pass game, Ohio State will struggle. They will struggle. Bama's pass rush is really, really good. They've gotten better as the year's gone on. And Fields, I would assume it needs to be in the don't take a bunch of hits mode. So the ball needs to come out quick. Bama knows that too. Ryan Day's not just going to have Fields sitting back there in the pocket holding the ball, waiting for something to come open, taking shots on his ribs.
Yeah.
Because everybody, you think I'm saying I said this about a Bama quarterback, A.J. McCarron, back in the day, and everyone freaked out. I'm going to say it again. Use your brain. Part of the scouting report for Alabama, whichever coach does it, got up there and said, here's what we have learned about Justin Fields' ribs. It is his left rib cage, or right, I guess it would have been right rib cage. Hasn't practiced a lot. If it's clean, that's where we're going. If you get through and you have a shot on him, they won't hit him in the thigh. They'll hit him in the ribs.
Yeah.
And that's part of sport. It just is. So they're going to have to do a good job of protections as well. I don't foresee Bama trying to blitz a ton, but when they do, they'll have to dial them up and they'll have to make sure they have good protection plan for Fields.
The interesting thing was, after what Indiana did to Justin Fields in the Big Ten Championship, or not in the Big Ten Championship, but over the course of the season, the game that Fields probably looked the worst, he learned a lot from that, because I saw Clemson try to do some of the same things against him, and it didn't work. He adjusted, and he got better, and he was able to overcome it and win a game because of it. It's going to be fascinating. We'll go through some of these other matchups as we go along. More on the national championship game coming up next. Your thoughts and questions as well. 656-9900. The Eric Haines Show continues next.
I don't know. Firepower to firepower, Alabama definitely has the edge. But one of the things that Ohio State did one of the touchdowns, they got super lucky. The tight end was in the end zone. The guy, defender was all over him, and he just kind of put his arm up, and it, like, landed in the breadbasket.
Yeah.
That won't be recreated tonight. That's not going to happen again. I also look at a lot of Alabama's points at different times this season, and including against Notre Dame. The little RPO bubble screens, little quick hitters, quick slant, stuff like that, where Mac Jones just gets it and gets it out of his hand immediately. Ohio State is better at tackling. I think they will – I don't foresee just tons of yards after the catch, long – Brian Kelly said it that in the – before that game last week, where, we got to force them to, move the ball all the way down the field, and they did everything but that.
Yeah.
So the game plans are going to – they're out there. And Brian Kelly kept saying it too. Like, it's not – what they're doing is not complicated. We just need to be more – sound fundamentally and with our reads and where our eyes are going, because we get – once we get a little out of position, or you take the dressing and your eyes go over there to follow it, you're a foot out of position, you're not going to make the tackle.
Yeah.
And – I think both teams kind of play that way. So it's going to be a good football game. I would say whichever team gets more explosive play touchdowns, 40, 50 yard plays and scoring points, if there's one team that's doing that better than the other, then that team's probably going to win.
Who does that favor?
I think it favors Alabama. It has to. But now that Fields has all his receivers back and those tight ends, I don't foresee either team just shutting the other team down running the football.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to have to commit a lot of resources, both teams, to stopping the other team from running the ball. And when you do that, you are definitely more susceptible to getting the ball thrown down the field on you. It's going to be a matter of who can pitch and catch, who's got the better cover corners, who makes those 50-50 ball catches, who makes open field tackles, and who misses. I mean, both teams are probably going to do a lot of the, you know, a lot of the same stuff. So it really just comes down to execution, and I cannot tell you who's going to execute better.
Right.
You know, I'd lean Alabama, but Ohio State's right there with them.
Yeah.
I mean, it should be a good game.
This is a matchup. I think this will probably be the best matchup we've seen in a national championship game, because I just think this Ohio State team and this Alabama team are probably the best matchup we've seen. You know, this isn't the best team we've seen from it may be the best team we've seen from Alabama, at least in the last couple of years, or the
definitely
last few years.
Offensively, anyway.
And this Ohio State team may not be the best top-to-bottom team they've had, but just the way these two teams play, I think they were on a collision course, and I'm glad that we said. I'm more excited to watch how this game plays out than I would have been Clemson-Alabama. Though I picked Clemson to win the semifinal, I actually think Ohio State has a better chance to beat Alabama than Clemson would have. I don't know that the odds would back me up on that, but that's how it feels watching it.
Alabama all year long has been the odds-on favorite. They've been it's theirs to lose. I still think that's the case.
Yeah.
Like, bottom line, if Ohio State actually goes out there tonight and finds a way to win the ball game, it'll be the most impressive championship, in my opinion, since we've started the playoff.
Yeah.
It'll be remarkable, because what Alabama has done to everybody they have played this year is pretty remarkable. You know, but you look at what Florida was able to do against them late in the SEC championship game when they had all of their weapons out there offensively. They were able to put enough pressure on them in different ways throwing the football. They ended up making a bunch of plays.
Yeah.
And scoring a bunch of points. So it is possible. It is doable. You know, one of the other wild factors here is how long does Fields last? How hurt is he really? And when do we see Jaylen Waddle? Do we see Jaylen Waddle? How healthy is he really?
Yeah. I'm interested in the Fields part of that, because there have been reports out of Ohio State's camps that he is actually fine and he felt better than they expected him to. I don't know that I believe that as far as I can throw it, but maybe. If he is close to 100%, then it can be every bit of the fun game that we expect it to be. I would need to see that to believe it.
If he's close to 100%, then it changes my opinion on how tough he is for what he did in the Clemson game.
Sure.
Everyone's trying to make him out into being this hero of incredible toughness and
gladiator.
That's what he's doing. And like, if he doesn't have a little gimp in that rib cage, then I'm like, come on, dude. Maybe he needed to use the bathroom, or whoever said that.
He just got the poop knocked out of him, literally.
Yeah, he had to go change his pants and then wince every once in a while. So it did. Like, he should be banged up.
Yeah.
Isn't this fun, though? Because, like, this is why we play the games.
Yeah.
Like, we're just talking through all the different things, scenarios, X's and O's, what kind of things they're going to be doing. And I still haven't convinced myself either way that it's a, you know, like, it's a guarantee that either team's going to win. I mean, no. I'm leaning Alabama, but I don't think it's a guarantee that they're going. You know, my friend Miss Sherry from Jeff City said trying to decide who to root for between Alabama and Ohio State is like trying to decide between a root canal and a kidney stone.
She's not wrong. All right, when we come back, a little more on this game, and we'll make our pick for it, as it is the national championship game tonight, Alabama and Ohio State on ESPN and their megacast. They have some fun alternate viewing options for this as well. We'll tell you about some of those. When we come back, we'll make our picks on the other side on the Eric Haines Show.
Welcome back into the Hurricane Show. Brian Rice, Phil Silverberg, myself, EA. 865-656-9900. Got about a half hour left, a little less than that. Man, I'm excited for this game tonight.
All right, if you want to watch tonight's game, obviously the normal broadcast will be on ESPN. They have the Command Center on the ESPN app, the Data Center on the ESPN app. If you want to hear Eli Gold on the Alabama Radio Network, the SEC Network will be carrying the broadcast synced up to Eli Gold, John Parker Wilson, Rashad Johnson, Chris Stewart, and the Tri-City Zone, Roger Hoover. If you want to hear the Ohio State broadcast, you have to go online to the ESPN app with their group. RefCast is on the ESPN app, where John Perry, Matt Austin will join Herm Edwards and Jason Benetti to break down the game, as Perry and Austin will talk about it from a ref's perspective. That would be interesting to some of our friends in the referee business who still talk to us after all the times we rip on referees. The All-22 on the ESPN app. That's the kind of view that football junkies like you would like, Eric.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm going to be boring and just watch it on TV.
Yeah. Yeah. They also will have SkyCast on ESPNU, the Coach's Film Room on ESPN News.
That's always good.
Yeah, yeah, with some interesting coaches in there. So you can check that out tonight on all the ESPN family of networks. Film Room will have, it'll be led by current ESPN analyst Gene Chizik, along with Wake Forest head coach Dave Clawson, North Carolina A&T head coach Sam Washington, and Hugh Freeze. I can't watch it.
Man.
I can't watch it because he's on it. I'll just be honest with you. Normally, I like Coach's Film Room, but I'll have to skip it this year.
Yeah, I'll just be watching it on the TV.
Yeah. All right. Who you got tonight? Alabama or Ohio State? We'll put this in from the picks from Friday. And I will, of course, remind you that Jake and Chad both took Alabama. Eric?
You know, believe it or not, this is actually a hard pick for me. I really think it could be that good of a football game. I'm going to go with, you know, Saban has Sark leaving to go be the Texas coach. But I believe that, you know, different than Kiffin, I think Sark is dialed in 100% and ready to go. Kind of like Pruitt was when he was the DC there, when they won that championship that year. I think you're going to have a very motivated, healthy Alabama team. And there's just more question marks for Ohio State. But if they answer the ones that we have, they're plenty good to go beat this Alabama team. But I think that it's a combination of things not going well for them, for Bama, and things going well for Ohio State. That could be your win. But Alabama doesn't necessarily need things to go bad for Ohio State. They just play their best, they win. So in that scenario, I'm going to take Alabama.
Joel?
I'm going to take Alabama, but I really like Ohio State to cover. I especially since I've seen that line go up to 9. I really like the Buckeyes to cover tonight, but I think Alabama's going to have a lot of firepower. They just have so many ways that they can beat you. What really stood out to me in the semifinal game against Notre Dame was when they completed a couple of passes to Forrestall. They hit Menchie on a pass over the middle. They had Najee Harris on a couple runs. They threw one to him out of the backfield. And suddenly Alabama's inside the 30, and Devontae Smith hasn't touched the ball yet. Then they give it to him, and he scores. It was almost as if Nick Saban was toying with Notre Dame, saying, "Hey, for the record, like, we can just give it to Smith and score whenever we want to, and so we don't need him to all the time, but we have that capability." So especially if Waddle ends up playing tonight, oh my gosh, even if he's a decoy, you're going to have to give him some attention. So I'm going to take Alabama.
Yeah, I'll take Alabama as well. Picking against Nick Saban's like picking against Bill Belichick. I need to see it before I will ever do it. So
picking against Bill Belichick would have made you a lot of money this year.
Yeah, it would have this year. Yeah, but not in the playoffs. Can you imagine if they get like Deshaun Watson?
I'd be down with Deshaun Watson leaving the AFC South.
Or if they go and that's true. Or if they go and get like Kyle Trask in the draft. Eric, that's one of my nightmares.
It's definitely possible. It is for sure possible.
All right, so clean sweep pick in Alabama. Eric, what do you think final score wise?
I think it'll be Alabama 45, Ohio State 34.
I was going to go 45-38, but since you said 45, I'll go 47-38. Alabama wins a high-scoring matchup.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I think it's going to look like anyway. We obviously, we don't know. Half these NFL games you think are going to look one way, and they don't. So
that's true.
You never know.
Joel, you have a score?
I hadn't really thought of this yet. I mean, I definitely think it's going to be high-scoring. I will take Alabama... Gosh, I don't know. 45 seems like the right number. I don't know. I'll say something wild. I'll say 52-48.
52-48.
Let's just get wild.
Oh man.
Let's see 100 points scored in this game.
I'd be fine with that.
Either any of the three score predictions that we just gave, I would be fine with from a viewing standpoint.
Oh yeah.
Just give me 60 minutes of good football.
Yeah. It's the last time we have it.
Don't care who wins. Yeah.
September.
Don't care who wins. Don't care what it looks like. Just make it competitive. No more than a two-score game at any point in time on either side. And just punch after punch, back and forth, who's going to win the battle.
Watch it be 21-14 and we find out some guy put $100 on like an under 65 total and made a bunch of money last night.
I know. That's what I was going to say.
If that happens, then both teams are going to have some sort of like a COVID outbreak right now and not get, they'll barely have enough to play and they're going to play it anyway. That's the only way that happens.
Yeah. I think you're probably right on that. Should be fun though. Tonight on ESPN. And then after this, we go into the dark, cold season where there's no college football again until September. Although we've got FCS this spring.
I can't wait for that. I'm going to go watch some ETSU if we're allowed to.
Yeah, if we're allowed to, yeah. Randy Sanders is going to get you the good seats.
Of course.
If I can that
goes without saying.
If I can work it in around the softball schedule, I'll join you for one of those. Should be fun.
There you go.
We'll get some pals. All right, we'll come back, find out what we learned today, and get you set for the rest of your sports day next as the Eric Haynes Show continues on the other side.
We still don't know if Jalen Waddle's going to play tonight. That'll be one of those. That'll be one of those 10 minutes before game time. You find out deals.
What do they have in the water down there that these guys all just? I mean, because it's not just some of them. Like all of their guys seem to heal exponentially faster than other schools' players. It's that deer antler spray stuff that they used to have.
Yeah, they got something. They got something down there. They're also a bunch of just specimens of a human athlete.
Yeah.
They got that going for them, too.
Genetics help.
Sure do. Let's see. What else did we learn today? Oh, we didn't talk about this, but I want to give him a congratulations. The guy that made the first phone call to me from Tennessee that got me on the phone with Coach Fulmer, where he ultimately offered me a scholarship, Marcus Satterfield, former Tennessee Tech head coach, and been all over the place, coaching all over the place, has taken the offensive coordinator quarterback coach job at South Carolina.
That's exciting.
So he's going to go be Brian Harsin's OC and QB coach.
At Auburn.
Auburn, sorry.
Okay. Yeah, you said South Carolina, and I was like, So he's going to work under Bobo at Auburn.
I mean, did I read that wrong? No, offensive coordinator, quarterback coach at South Carolina.
Oh, at South Carolina. Okay. So yeah, he's not working with Brian Harsin. No, you said Brian Harsin.
Sorry. And... yeah, my bad. He's coaching at South Carolina.
Gotcha. Okay.
My fault.
Under Shane Beamer.
Yeah, my bad.
Yeah, you're good. That makes sense that they were then on staff at Tennessee together.
Yep. Sat's a good coach too. They got a good one there.
That'll be good. We learned that it was a Browns win Monday because the Browns absolutely hammered the Steelers last night.
The Steelers made a comeback. You know, that's a tough way to go out if that's the way you go out for Big Ben. You throw for over 500 yards. You did throw four picks. So
yeah. You were two of them. Big part of that deficit being there.
Two of them were batted at the line of scrimmage, though, and there's just nothing you can do about that. Like, he didn't play a bad football game. He played good. Bad luck on a couple balls, a couple that he threw, you know, weren't good. The check down, and then even the one in the back defensive backfield was still tipped and picked. It wasn't an accurate throw, so it is his fault. But I feel bad for Big Ben if that's how he goes out.
Do you think this is the end for Ben Roethlisberger?
He looked relatively healthy this year. He threw the ball well. I think the Steelers would be crazy not to go out and find, if they had the opportunity to find their guy, their future franchise guy, they should do that. You know, you don't want to miss an opportunity because you want to let Big Ben have one more chance. So unless you think he can lead you to a championship again, then you need to go, because they don't have anyone else on the roster that's going to be the future franchise guy.
Go get Deshaun Watson.
They have backups. Go get Deshaun Watson.
Watch the fireworks.
Yeah. No, I mean, that if you could do that, you'd have to just say, sorry, Ben. You know, we love you, and you know, but we can't miss this opportunity. You know, it's not just about him. It's about the franchise and the future of the franchise, and they need to be doing what's best for that, and that might not end up being Big Ben.
Yeah.
Or it might. Who knows? They may say, we're going to go take one more ride with you and shore up a couple other spots on the field. Because if Big Ben's healthy, I mean, he just threw for over 500 yards. Like, if he's healthy, then he's still a top-tier quarterback and can play at a really high level. I believe he could probably do that again next year, if he even wants to. Who knows? He was crying on the sideline, though. I don't know what that means. That could go either way. That could be like, I'm crying because I know I'm done. Or I'm crying because I really wanted to win and try to get another Super Bowl. I don't know. He was visibly upset.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and predict that was it for him. That he unfortunately walks off the field having lost to the Browns in that round of the playoffs. I just think his body has been so tough, but his body has been so battered that it's just not possible again. We'll see. We'll see.
I'll tell you the most impressive two are Drew Brees and Tom Brady, and they're squaring off this weekend. 42 and 43 years. I think Brees is about to be 42, and Brady's 43.
Yeah.
Brady threw for over 40 touchdowns, and he's 43 years old. What?
Yeah. He is a freak.
My gosh.
And it's like, you know, we talk about athletes being freaks. We talked about Kawhi Leonard at the start of the show grasping two water bottles in one hand. Like, not by the lid either. So we talk about athletes being freaks. Tom Brady is not some sort of physical chiseled specimen, but he is so healthy and so well put together that he can continue to do things at an age that people just don't do it anymore.
It literally is amazing.
Yeah. He's fun to watch. He's easier to watch now that he's not in New England. I wasn't necessarily cheering for him the other night, but I certainly wasn't cheering against him.
He's a nice guy.
Bridget Moynihan would probably disagree, but
other than that, he's a nice guy.
We learned that we both think that Urban Meyer is going to be successful in the NFL if he ends up taking the Jacksonville job.
I really think that's the job for him to take. I mean, he's coached at Florida, one of the better schools in the Southeastern Conference. He's coached at the best school in the Big Ten. You know, I mean, he's coached on the West Coast before. Like, what job, if you're Urban Meyer, do you even want to come back for if it's in college?
Oh, yeah.
You've already won two championships at two different places. You know what kind of effort goes into doing that. I just think it's an easier job. If you love football, it's an easier job to be an NFL head coach than it is a big time college head coach.
Well, and you know the fact that in the last calendar year, Urban Meyer has told USC he wouldn't be interested if they made a move on Clay Helton, and then he told Texas that he wouldn't be interested if they made a move on Tom Herman, tells me that he is absolutely 100% never coaching in college again. Because you don't turn down a place with the history, tradition, and relative ease of conference of USC and a place with unlimited resources like Texas if you're ever considering getting back in college football. But I think he's intrigued by the NFL. And this seems like a good opportunity for him to take, if he indeed does take it.
He's had a few years to kind of get his mindset refreshed and get ready to get back at it. He's got the first pick of the draft, so he's going to have a quarterback that, I mean, it's a perfect situation. They're the worst team in the league. They played terrible. You are also coming in, you're going to get a franchise caliber quarterback, and you get to do the whole draft. Your fan base in your front office is used to not winning, so the expectations are low. And if you have growing pains, you have a quarterback that's a rookie.
Sure.
So for all the built-in excuses, and I think Urban Meyer does like count that kind of stuff in. Like, I think he cares about what people think so much that this is a win-win for him. He can go in there, and if it doesn't work out immediately, that'll be okay because of all these other things I just said. And if he comes in and he does win, then he's just the next best thing. It is an ideal situation, other than the fact that you are going to coach the worst team in the league, or yeah, close to anyway.
But hey, you get Trevor Lawrence.
You better be good quick.
Yeah. Better get an offensive line to protect him quick. Joel, thank you. Eric, we'll see you tomorrow after we've watched the national championship game.
Can't wait.
We'll see you then. We'll break it all down tomorrow on the Eric Haines Show.